Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show.
You're back.
I'm back. Tom McCaffrey. Eric Bronstein.
I'm back.
Eric's back. Alex is back.
Hey, it's Alex for sure. Yeah, Tom.
So
you went all over the world.
Yeah, the last time we spoke with you was via satellite.
Yes,
and you were
in Hawaii.
That was fun.
That was fun. That was very unexpected. I was waiting to go to China. And I was just sitting in a coffee shop and I saw Alex's name come up and I was like, oh, what's going on? I was glad that happened.
We were kind of surprised you picked up.
I listened to the episode and then the lead up, I could tell you guys it was just kind of like on a lark.
Eric was like, he's not gonna answer. He's not gonna fucking answer.
I know. I remember
I was
you
like,
said
I,
that.
Why do you think he's not gonna answer?
Well, because I never really answer my phone. And actually, it's weird. I think your name is one of the only names I have in my phone.
Woo!
Isn't that weird?
It makes me feel good.
I think it's like special. You two that I have, and then like maybe one other person. I only have like three names in my phone.
Is that real? You don't save people's names?
I have very few people I actually talk to on the phone, and I know their numbers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm very strange.
That is a strange thing.
Your voicemail messages are really, it's very, it's a little snarky.
What does it say?
It just is like, come off a little douchey on it. You know?
Do I? I feel like it's just my voice.
I've never heard it. What does it say?
Tom, leave a message.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just how I talk.
I think you were trying to embellish the...
Am I? My douchiness?
Yeah. No, I think you were trying to be funny, though.
I probably was. Yeah.
How long ago
it worked
did
out
you
great.
Make it? Do you remember how long ago you made it? A
couple
the
weeks
movie?
Ago. Probably years ago. And I just haven't. I got to listen to it.
Like
it
from like 08. You sound like you're
probably.
12. You're like, oh, God.
Well, I was 12 in 08.
Yeah. Oh, worries.
Emotionally.
Genuinely, I was like 13.
So please rate and review this podcast,
yeah.
Everybody. Sometimes people do. Do it more.
Rate, review, subscribe.
And please message. We're going to start an Instagram page. And
we're
going to
start
message
one,
me.
But we need to pick a name of the podcast first.
Yeah. It was Last Exit to Brooklyn, as you guys all know. Mm-hmm. And then it was Brooklyn. But I think it's going to be something else. Brooklyn.
If
you have any ideas, please message any of us. Call in.
Well, Tom, your Instagram is like the weirdest handle.
It's Tom McCaffrey 722.
Okay.
Well, because the other ones, Tom McCaffrey was taken.
Right. So Tom McCaffrey 722. Which
I feel like I'm really taking a beating before we start. Like, everything I...
Why 722? There's 721. Where is that like a birthday?
I don't know why.
There was still a reason for sure.
That might have been the date that
July
I did it
22nd.
On. July 22nd, maybe. Yeah. I was just like 722. I don't know. I do weird
things. Because most people will just like, they'll put like a underscore, like Tom underscore McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Or like, you know,
I didn't
something
do that.
Fun. Like that.
Well, you ever tried it? Because recently I tried to sign up for an extra email address.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, the choices they give you now, there's slim pickings.
Yeah.
So they, like, you know, you put your name in and you put variations. It's none of it's available. And then they'll just give you a variation of your name with like 982376.
Oh, really?
You know, after your
oh,
name.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have that problem because I have such a unique last
right,
name.
Right. So yeah. Yours is
you guys
probably...
both, though. You guys both run into that issue, I'd imagine.
Do you as much?
No, I mean, no. My last name isn't really unique. That is kind of unique, but it's just that I don't want to use my whole name in my email. So I'll just use an initial.
Why? Why don't you use your whole name?
Because it's too long. I wanted to make it easy for people to write.
What is your Eric Bronze?
I got like 20 of them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So
yeah. Wait, you have so many what?
I got a lot of emails.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Kids got emails, dude. Wait,
I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that either. I think it's hilarious because it sounds like you're trying to like do something. Like,
oh yeah,
like,
it's not
like you're scamming someone.
It's not legit. Trust me.
So yeah, you cut. So I literally was. So I went to LA. I was there for 5 days.
Yeah,
I did a few shows there.
What shows did you do?
I did a couple of shows at the Ha Cafe.
You did that one?
Yeah. Did you do that place?
Not when I was there the last time.
Greg Wilson, do you know him?
Yeah.
He has some shows. And then I did one, the Improv Irvine.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then I was supposed to do another one, but I had to leave. And then I went to Hawaii for 11 days. I had this insane vacation, and in the middle of it, I was like, this is too long.
I told you that before you left, by the way.
I know.
Like, you're going away for like 5 weeks.
But no, I went away for 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
And I was in Thailand for 12 days alone.
That's amazing.
Isn't that insane? Yeah. Yeah, and you know, like on paper, when I booked the trip, because I went to China, my sister lives there,
right?
And my sister was like, "You should go to like Vietnam or Thailand. They have really nice beaches, and it's not that far." What?
You going to Thailand just for the beach?
Not just for the beach, okay. But it was like, you know,
did you do drugs there?
No, you can't really do drugs there. It's illegal.
Yeah, very illegal.
You probably could, but I mean, I didn't really know. I have a few stories. So like. Before I went to China, my sister lives in Beijing. She called me like 4 days before I got there. And she was like, okay, you're going to China. She's like, just, you know, I'm not saying you're going to do this, but like, you know, don't bring weed or anything. Not that you were going to. And I was like, oh yeah, no. Well, why? She's like, oh, if they catch you with marijuana, it's the death penalty.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So I was, that made me just terrified
to
go to fucking China. And then she was like, and also if you're out, they can test you. And if you have marijuana in your system, they can arrest you. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's a country I really don't want to be at.
So that was like 4 days before I left. So I was like fucking terrified to go. I had just smoked weed like a couple weeks before. And they were like, yeah, if you're at a bar. I mean, I don't think it happens that often, but it can happen. So, I went to China and like, have you ever been there?
No.
No.
It's really scary. Like, it's really like, when I got there, it was terrifying. They're just so strict. And
right.
There's just, you know, soldiers standing everywhere, you know, and they
really?
All look angry and there's nothing really to do. So like, I really, when I got there, I mean, luckily. Like,
and you were there during the whole Hong Kong thing.
Yeah, I was there during that. I don't know if that really made a difference or anything, but like...
You were on mainland, so...
Yeah, but still, I mean, no one really speaks English. They're really unfriendly. I got, you know, it's a long flight. I took it from Hawaii. I took it at night. I fell asleep, and, you know, when you're, you know, you're just basically flying over the ocean the whole time. And are you afraid of flying at all?
Yes.
You are? Are you?
I don't like flying over the ocean.
I don't either.
Because I'm like, I feel like somehow if I'm over land, if I crash, I can survive.
Right.
But in the ocean, you're fucked.
So it was pitch black dark.
Yeah.
I fell asleep. So I was like, okay, I took an Ambien. And then I'm woken up in the middle of the flight by major turbulence.
Really?
Like bad turbulence. And like, I'm just on a plane and I'm just like, and like, oh, no. I look out the window and it's just, you can't see anything. Yeah. And I was like, where the fuck am I? I'm in a plane that feels like it's going to crash.
Sure.
And like, I don't know where the fuck I am. So that was kind of like the beginning of like, holy shit, what am I getting myself into here?
Right.
And then I got there and they're very like, you know, you don't just get off the plane and you're like, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? Like you have to, I was walking, no one speaks English and
right.
Some woman.
How dare they in China?
I know. Yeah. Fucking weirdos. No, but so this woman's holding it up, but you can't ask anyone like, hey, what do I do?
Right.
So this woman's holding up like a piece of a card that says okay on it. And I'm like,
okay.
Yeah. She's like, you know, and they talk to you like you
hey,
know.
Can
what
you do
saying.
An Asian accent? Do an Asian accent right now in a silly voice.
Oh no!
So you can never get.
Oh, okay.
So you can never get on Saturday Night Live. Go ahead.
Oh no! Ching chong chai. I'm literally just like I know. There goes my SNL career.
Yeah.
Don't they usually hire dudes in their mid-40s?
Yeah.
So she's like, has the okay thing. And I'm like, I don't know. What is that?
Yeah.
I'm going. And she was like, and she just like waves me in. And then I'm trying to get through. And this woman's like, you have to go to this machine and like, they take all your prints and everything. And then you get that paper and then you have to show that woman. And I was like, oh, well, she didn't tell me anything. So this woman kind of helped me. So I did that and I was leaving, you know, and I'm with this big crowd of people and we have to go to like another shuttle or whatever, like a train in the airport to go to the other part of the airport. And I'm walking.
This
with,
is Beijing, right?
Yeah. And okay. I'm walking with the woman who told me what to do in English and she's with a friend, these two women.
And they're just passengers.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, these women clearly speak English. I'll try to talk to them. And I was like, oh, you speak English, right? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, where are you guys from? And she gives me this, like, the two women, like, look at each other, like, so freaked out and, like, give me a dirty, and they just, like, run ahead of me. And I was like, okay, this is going to be a fun fucking trip. And these are the people who speak English at the thing. Shit. So,
you were just trying to be, like, friendly.
I wasn't, like, hitting on. I mean, no, they were the only people who spoke English
there. You were just, like, trying to find someone.
And I think
they
kind of, like, you know, and I was like, oh, where are you from? Like, because I thought they were from America.
Yeah. You weren't saying, like, where are you going? Like, or something.
Right. And they just ran away from it. So then, it took me a few days to kind of, like, acclimate because I was still, you know, because then I went, you know, you get there's nothing to do and you're like, I guess I'll go to eat food or something.
They have they have a McDonald's there.
Yeah, that's so funny. Immediately I was like, where's McDonald's? No, but I did. And you're like, oh cool, there's gonna be great food. And I would go to restaurants and like I wouldn't know how to order anything. Then I would order and the food like was terrible. Yeah. Like I ordered like chicken wings and they tasted weird.
they always do different things in different countries. Like you go to McDonald's and they always have different condiments. Like, yeah, we're putting yogurt.
Yeah,
on
mustard
the
all over it. Right. And actually better. It was better than regular McDonald's.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's different. It doesn't taste anything like... And
I bet they use different oils and shit.
Yeah, so yeah. I went to a movie theater, and I was like, oh, I'll be able to figure out, like, a movie. And, like, again, this is going to sound so stupid. Like, everything's in China. You know, not even, like, numbers of what time the movie's at. And they have nothing. The only movie that I knew was the fucking Fast and the Furious new movie.
Oh, yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw, which I didn't want to see at all. But I just had nothing to do.
It's probably big there. Do they do it in English though?
Yeah, it was in English
with subtitles.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't. So I didn't know how to tell what. I don't know when the movie's playing. So I just took a picture of the ad right there, and I go, "When is this?" And but what was so funny is like my sister was like, "This means thank you. This means hello. This means." And like 2 days in, I just gave up on saying Chinese words. I'd be like, "I want." I would just say English. Like, I want this.
You know? Point.
Yeah, and I was like,
they
I'm
must
not
have
even,
loved you there.
Well, I was just like, I'm not even bothering with these fucking words. Like, what is if I know how to say hey?
And you're just like, all right.
No, Jesus. Like they were like, they told me how to say this.
Yeah, how do you say this?
I forgot because I gave up.
Do you,
on
do you
it.
Remember any of them?
Jaga, like, Jaga is this.
But is it really Jaga? The way you're saying
I think it is. Probably not.
Definitely not the way.
Shay Shay is thank you.
Shay Shay.
Ni hao is hello. Yeah, that's the one I knew. Ni hao.
It's like ni hao.
Yeah, well, I said ni hao.
Ni hao.
And
they're like white.
So I saw Hobbs and Shaw, and that was like...
Was that like awful?
I mean, it was great for just being in China and doing nothing.
Okay. How much does a movie cost there?
Oh,
that's the other thing.
Great
too.
Question.
That's eight, the
8,000 whatever.
Yeah, it's 8,000 won or something. But it's so funny too when you're abroad and you're like in these countries, like you don't really feel like you're spending money for real.
Yeah. For real.
Every other people's money. Where I was, their money doesn't look like real money.
Yeah.
It's like Monopoly money.
Yeah, so like you just Canada when it's pink and you're like, what the...
Yeah, it's like green and there's pictures of people. And then like everything you pay for, they get like in Thailand, they give you stamps as change. They give you stamps.
That's hilarious.
I was like, what the fuck is this? Stamps?
In Thailand, though,
at least they're very like... For everyone like in Thailand, like they like bow to you. They're like... they say... words in Thai, but I don't know what they're saying, but they're all like, oh yeah, hello, oh yeah, thank you, thank you very
canceled.
Much, oh thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's how they're talking though. That's how they sound.
Well, I know, but it's not allowed.
You're not allowed to like imitate how people talk.
That's correct. Yes.
The stamps,
I know,
weird.
Yeah, so China was like, yeah, all right. And then I found like an amusement park right near where my sister lived, and I was like, all right, I'm going to this.
What kind? Like a roller coaster?
Like roller coasters, but not like huge, but like smaller rides. And I went there during the day, and like no one's there.
Yeah.
And there's a thing apparently in China, they're always watching you.
Oh, yeah. It's like, well, kind of like here too.
No, but I think like they have people specifically watching you.
People, not just like cameras.
Cameras, but like my sister works for UNICEF, and she's like, I think that they're like specifically watched. They know exactly what everyone's doing all the time.
So when you told her you were going to this amusement park.
I didn't tell her, but I went to this amusement park, and there were like three people getting on rides, and it was, you know, it was this ride where like it was like there's so many seats where you're sitting around this circle thing, and this guy sat right next to me, like twice on rides, like right next to me, and
even though it was
like,
completely
why?
Empty. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm that's like, why so are you weird. Standing next to me? And I told my sister later, she's like, that guy's probably following. And I kept seeing him around the park. Like at one point, I like turned or I put my head down and just kept walking because I didn't. I was like, why is this guy so into me? So that's kind of scary.
I think the test would have been if you went to the bathroom and there was like a ton of urinals and he went right next to the one near you. Then you
would have
known.
Would have, I
or
think.
He was gay, either or.
And then he started to try to talk to me, and I was like, I don't speak whatever you're saying. So then I was like, all right, so I was there for 12 days, China. So I was in Hawaii 12 days. I was in LA for 5 days. So
Hawaii and China both 12 days separately?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't
wow.
that insane?
That's a lot. Okay.
Then I had 12 days in Thailand alone. And, you know, on paper when you're booking it, you're like, oh, 12 days, like, you know, on my own, I'm right on the beach. Oh, man, this will be amazing. An hour and a half into the trip, like, I go to the beach the first day. I'm like, all right, like, now what? I'm an hour and a half into my fucking trip. So I'm an hour and a half into the trip in Thailand. Everyone's like, oh, there's going to be no surf. It's really nice, though. You know, no surf. I mean, the undertow's like fucking insane. Like the waves are huge. I'm there for an hour at the beach, and it's so rough. You can't turn your back on it. And I see this guy a little further out, and I've never seen that. I've never seen. And he starts like yelling for help.
Oh, wow.
Like he's like, help, help, help.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Full on like drowning in the ocean. And I was like, holy shit. Like what? Cause I was like, if I go out there, like there's no way I can save this guy.
No,
I right. will die.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Cause I was barely holding my own, you know, in the ocean. So this other guy starts swimming out and then
there's no lifeguards.
Well, there's a lifeguard. And I kind of like started waving at the lifeguard and then he was swimming out on a surfboard.
Oh, that's how you got to do it. That's
and
how,
I yeah. said to the guy who was kind of drowning, I'm like, hey, this guy's coming. But that was like an hour and a half into my fucking, you know, first day. And I was like, oh, this is fucking weird. Like, I just saw a guy almost die.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
So then 2 days later, I go to another beach and I'm like, oh, this is so nice. This beach is so much nicer. And the undertow is so insane. And I'm like walking out a little bit and all of a sudden the ground just disappears. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, no big deal. You know, I'm a little further out, whatever. And I just kind of like, I'm like trying to swim back a little bit. And I notice that I'm like a little further out than everyone else is.
Oh, no, you're getting.
And yeah. I'm doing that back stroke where you're kind of like, you know, because you're just kind of floating and you're not putting a lot of effort. I was like, well, let me just kind of swim back but not put a lot of effort in it so I don't tire myself out.
Right.
And it's not working. Like, I'm not going in. And yeah. this really happened. So, like...
Oh, no, I believe you.
So then I turn and I'm like, I really got to, like, get in. I can't touch ground. I don't know how much longer I can just not touch ground. So I start doing, like, you know, the Australian crawl in...
Which and is I'm, just normal swimming.
Freestyle, whatever
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, never heard of the Australian
I don't know what the fuck it is.
That sounds like some weird...
Whatever they do when they race.
That sounds like a sex...
Swimming.
That sounds like a weird sex position.
You that know is what it's called.
Yeah?
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, right, I did a Cleveland steamer and then an Australian crawl on this girl. It was got crazy.
Right, right. Then I did anal to come in.
In the ocean, too. Wow.
No, so like... And I'm like really swimming hard. And I'm like getting like kind of scared because I'm like, who the fuck can I like... Like, if I drown right now, no one's going to know what happened to me for, like, days.
Or care, probably.
But even, like, my family, it'll take days to figure out what happened to me. Like, because
we wouldn't know until, like, where the fuck is Tom?
I mean, it would take, like, 4 or 5 days before. And so some of my – so I'm swimming in, and I'm not really panicking yet, but then, like, I'm getting really, really tired, and I'm, like, fighting to get in. I finally, like, touch bottom.
Oh, so you did make some move.
Like, yeah, no, I didn't die.
No.
You didn't?
You were able to swim towards
No, I
the
was
shore.
Able. But so what really scared me is when I got out and I could touch, when I finally got out, I was like dead tired.
Oh,
I was so out of breath. And I was like, I got out and I was like, oh my God, like I don't know how much longer I could have done that. Like if I was like, if I had two more minutes of this, I really would have been in trouble.
Shit.
Like where I would have like had to start screaming for help like that other guy did 2 days earlier.
Yeah, that's how that happens. Was that a Thai guy or was he like a Westerner?
I think he was Indian. I think
he
was...
he could have been on vacation too.
Yeah, I think he was... But like, And then I looked it up online where I'm staying, like if people drown, and they're like, yeah, people drown here all the time. And they, what really started to scare me was they were saying it can happen in a matter of like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You can just be swimming and then like misjudge it. And then all of a sudden you're just tired out and you can't do anything. You know what I mean? And it's so fucking strong, the undertow. Yes.
Yeah, they call it like a riptide, right? When you're getting thrown out and you're far away.
And I was doing it so wrong. What you're supposed to do is swim to the side.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to fight it. To but I kind of started like freaking out a little bit. But I would really freak. It was one of those things. You ever had that where like, after it's over, you're like, holy shit. Like, yeah. I really was in trouble. Like, that really... And I was, like, in the moment, like, trying not to panic and not, you know, get, like, you know, like... I was kind of like, oh, whatever, I'm fine. And then afterwards, I was like... I was so tired. I was like literally like another minute would have been like really bad. Yeah. So that was like my third day.
Yeah, that's fucking scary.
In Thailand. Yeah, that was pretty fucking scary.
That's like, eventful.
Were you bored after all that? 12 days is like...
I was bored by like the third day. I was like, I don't know what... I rented a motor scooter and yeah. I just started going around the island.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, but then that they drive insane and you're on the wrong side of the road and like...
They always drive crazy in other countries. Right.
I mean, I guess they drive crazy too here, but
it's just you're able to navigate it more. It's weird.
Yeah, you're just kind of like the other thing is you're on the wrong side of the road, so that's hard. So like yeah. when you're turning, you're always like, "Holy shit, what side am I supposed to be on?" And then everyone's honking at you, and then they're like, "Literally," and there's like. There's no sidewalk. People are darting in front of you while you're driving. I'm on a scooter. You know what I mean? Yeah. So this is what really. So this is another thing that really scared me. So like. I was in this one area, Karen Beach, which is just, you know, there's bars around there, but there's like, it's either like there's no one at the bars or you go to this one area and it's just like 20-year-old chicks dancing in their underwear all on the bar.
That sounds good.
Right. So like, I go to that area, you know, where the party is, where it's insane, where it's like, it's literally like Times Square in the 70s. And I'm not kidding. Like, I walk down there one night at like 2 a.m. and it's just lady boys.
Oh, wow.
They're holding up signs of like ping pong sex show. And they're like putting in your face. They're like, hey, sex show. And I'm like, no, I don't want a ping pong sex show.
Not doesn't sound boring and doesn't sound like as bad as China.
No,
Thailand sounds
no, no,
cool.
But it's like scary. Like that sounds cool, but it's like really overwhelming.
Okay,
like,
all right.
So
because most beach vacations I find kind of boring after a few days.
Yeah,
because you always go to some resort or some place, and it's like nothing to do after a while. You know, at least that seems like
I always overestimate the beach. I always feel like, oh, when I get to the beach, it's just great. And then I always remember, oh yeah, the beach is cool for about an hour a day.
Yeah, 12 days is too long.
Yeah, it's way too long. It's so crazy.
Yeah, you're telling me. Yeah. I had the seventh night, I had almost like a panic attack in my hotel room. I was like, I can see people like killing themselves in these situations. Like I was like,
but
you know,
situations where you go, where you just have so much free time, you can just.
Well, that's why I was like, how pathetic will it be? Like, oh, now I understand when you hear these stories about like Hollywood celebrities who like hang themselves in a hotel room in Thailand.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this is what this is why. It's because they're bored. Now I understand if you're a celebrity, you know, you're about a celebrity, and they're like. They were, you know, their career was taking off. Remember there was a guy in the show Suddenly Susan with, like, Brooke Shields?
Oh, yeah. He committed suicide.
He was, like, a young, up-and-coming guy who was, like, in movies. He was, like, 33. And he, like, hung himself in a hotel room. And you're like, why did he do that? Yeah, and I'm like, I think it's because, like, they get the thing that everyone tells them is the greatest thing. And all they really have in their lives is they go to Vegas and get drunk.
Well, you know, I remember that story. I heard...
Jesus, that's dark.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I just feel like if you're, like... isolated like that and everyone's like your life is the greatest and you're like really all I do is hang out with Brooke Shields and go to Vegas like I think and if you're doing coke and you're let me put it this way,
but I remember that story and I heard one of the reasons why that guy committed suicide I'm sure there was other reasons
Thailand.
Yeah but he was in a movie and he was on this TV show and then they put him in a movie
Ben Affleck movie
but then they cut his part so his part was very short.
You know why I bring that guy up? My second day in Thailand that movie was on.
That was Forces of Nature, right?
Yeah, Forces of Nature. And all Bullock. I could think is I was like I'm alone in a hotel room and I'm kind of depressed like and my life isn't as great as this guy's was like I can see why this guy hung himself and I don't think it's because they're like oh my God, what am I doing? And I hate my life. I think they're like, what do I have left in my life?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
I mean, for sure. But this guy committed suicide because his part was cut in a movie. You know, if you just got 5 minutes in a major movie, how excited would you be?
Oh my God.
So,
do you think that's why he did it, though?
That's one of the reasons they said he was depressed. But I'm sure there was other reasons behind.
Maybe he just saw the movie.
That's probably.
That's also,
maybe that's almost why I got so depressed, because yeah. I saw the movie.
Yeah.
You can't go 12 days on a beach vacation.
So, all right, so I went to that crazy part. This was like the fourth night, and I was like, I met a chick on Tinder, and I went to meet her there. That Tinder's, it's, dating apps are way different there.
Are they just all prostitutes?
How are they different?
They'll meet up with you, and they'll be like, yeah, let's go fuck.
Right, but are they...
Really?
Do you have to pay them, or no? Because I know a guy who goes to
different countries. I didn't do that. I didn't have to do that.
Oh, okay.
But I definitely... was going back and forth with chicks who seemed like they wanted to get together with me, and then they'd be like, yeah, you can come to my room and like fuck me for money.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that. I was like, let's see how the next night goes.
Because I know a guy who goes to another country, and Tinder is basically that.
I know that guy too. I talked to him before.
Yeah, yeah.
But that sounds great on paper again, but when I was in the situation where the hot chick was like, come over right now and you can fuck me for money, it really creeped me out.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I feel like in my life, I'm like, well, if the chick was hot, I'll just do that. But then when you're there, you're like, I feel like I would have been more depressed doing that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. After it's done? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's a horrible feeling, I would imagine.
It just seemed so disgusting to me. And I was already kind of like, I had almost drowned. I was like, I don't think I need this now.
Right.
So I went to that crazy bar, and I had my motor scooter, and I met this chick that I... Alex is riveted by this story.
I'm yawning.
And I met this chick from Tinder, and I was like, oh, I'll just have like a couple of drinks. And then I was hanging out with the chick from Tinder, and she was like, you know, you should be careful, because like when you go back to your area, they have like a checkpoint.
Oh God.
And they give like breathalyzers. She wasn't saying it, you know, she was saying more broken English than this, but she spoke in pretty good English.
Yeah, she said the word breathalyzer.
She didn't say breath. She was like, you know, the thing.
They check.
You know, like she and I was like, breathalyzer? She was like, yes, yes. She sounded like Borat.
Very nice. Yes.
Very nice. You breathe in. No, so I was
doing
like.
Do an Asian silly voice now.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been doing
you need to, though. You need to be careful when you go. Oh, Mr. Horny. You should be careful, because me so horny. One girl said that when I was hooking up. She was like, oh, you got me so horny.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, well, when did they start checking? It was like 10 p.m. She's like, oh, not till like 1. So I'm driving back, sure enough. And I've had a couple of drinks. I'm not drunk, but I'd had like a couple of drinks.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And she had said, she's like, you know, it's really low what they check.
Yeah.
It's like, if you've had maybe a beer, it'll be okay. And I was like, oh, whatever. So I don't know how this happened. I see the checkpoint, and like, I just keep going, and the guy kind of looks at me and just kind of like waves me off. And I just go by. And I was like, oh, whatever. And then later, I was like, oh my God, like I could have almost gone to jail in Thailand. Like,
yeah.
Which is insane. I looked it up again on the internet, and there's people, when tourists get arrested in Thailand, it's like it completely uproots their life.
Yeah.
Can be in jail for like weeks.
Yeah.
So that was another thing. I was like, holy shit, what am I fucking doing? Yeah. Like,
you're out there long enough, the risk just keeps increasing.
I almost drowned.
Yeah.
I had a thing, but then then the next day I went to the beach during the day, and I saw the same checkpoint, and they stopped me. And it wasn't a breathalyzer thing, but they were like checking everyone's license. And if you don't have, because I had
you need like a passport?
No, if you don't have a certain kind of, like, I guess, like, a Thai, you know, an Asian license, like, you have to pay, like, the police, like, you know, 500 baht, which is, like, $20. But that checkpoint where they just waved me, I mean, like, it's a miracle they didn't just stop me. Because it wasn't even a drunk thing. They just were stopping, they usually stop everyone to, like, see if they have to charge them. So I don't know how that fucking happened.
Maybe because you were on a scooter and not a car?
No, because the next day, it was during the day, and they were stopping. They stopped specifically everyone on anything to like make them pay if you don't have an
Asian
license.
That's very interesting. So you kind of just got away with it, dude.
I don't know what, maybe late at night, maybe they were checking for like drunk people or something. Maybe I just didn't seem. And also when I passed, it looked like these other people were like arguing with them. So they had already stopped some people.
I think with the girl warning you, yeah, their intention at night is probably not to just like do a toll check.
Yeah.
They're not like that's a daytime thing to like stop everyone.
Right. So but again, it was like when it happened, I was like, whatever, I didn't stop. And then I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it could have been
this
bad.
This is not really an ad for visiting Thailand.
No. I mean, although it does sound fun. Thailand, out of all the countries you went to, sounds the most enjoyable.
No, I wasn't being as careful with certain, but that's what's so scary, because right. I wasn't like drunk or anything, but I do feel like you can go there and make some rookie little mistakes, sure. And they're not understanding there. Right. They're not going to be like, oh, whatever, you're just visiting. I think they'd be like, yeah, you've had two drinks. You can't do that here. You're
gonna
go to
jail.
You're
going
now.
To jail.
In Thailand.
Yeah.
Which, who knows what the fuck happens in Thailand jail.
No, you go there, you're not coming out.
I mean, you're coming out, but something's gonna. I don't know. What's gonna happen.
So,
I imagine it'd be very humid in the Thailand.
It's
jail.
Humid, just yeah, like just outside. So like, I just started. You know, I went to a new beach every day, and I just drove. I started doing yoga, and I was like, you know what? I'm in Thailand's Buddhist.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go to like a meditation retreat, and I couldn't find any. And then they were like, we have a yoga retreat. I was like, that sounds hard.
Did you do it?
No, I went to yoga. I didn't have like a yoga retreat.
But I think these trips are just so boring. I mean, I once went on a trip with this girl, and we were so bored. And then one day we did horseback riding on the beach. Did you ever do that?
That sounds terrible.
Oh, it's so bad. But it's worse. So what happened was, we did horseback riding on the beach, and they took the
Where'd you go?
I think it was Jamaica.
Okay.
And we go in the water, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and they take us in the water, not just on the beach, in the water. Yeah. And the horses are getting scared, so they start shitting in the water. And we're in the water, up to our chests, and there's shit everywhere.
See, like when you see that in a movie,
and people are like, "Oh, this is great." I'm like, "No, I think I'm in like a toilet here."
Right, right. No, you definitely were in a horse toilet. Yeah, yeah. No, but when it, like
also, I
something,
feel bad for the horses. They're so scared.
They were so scared. And I even said to the guy, the tour guy, I'm like, "Do they like this?" He's like, "No, this is all good. They like this." I'm like, "I don't know."
Right. Right. Maybe you should maybe we should wait an hour after the horses have lunch. No, but like when I would see things like that in a movie, that looks like, oh my God, like I would love to do that. Like I would just love to be in a horse in the water in Jamaica. And then like when you're doing the thing, you're like, this isn't that great.
Nah,
so I had that. So I guess that's why I had that thought. Like I was like, I'm in, you know, because there would be beaches. You know, that's where they filmed. Remember the movie The Beach?
Oh,
with
yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio? Yeah. Did you see that?
Why have I?
Danny Boyle movie.
No.
He did it right after Titanic.
Oh,
it
yeah.
came out in like two. It kind of was like his follow-up to Titanic, and it like did really bad. And it's based on a book, and it's literally Leonardo DiCaprio is visiting Thailand from America, and he's so sick of society, and someone's like, hey, there's this island in Thailand that no one knows about. If you go there, you just like they have weed everywhere, and you can like just live on the beach. And he goes there, and there's like a commune of people.
Yeah.
And you need to be accepted by them, and you can just live on this island. And it's supposed to be like, oh my God, I'm in paradise, and I'm just on an island on a beach for the rest of my life. And they're showing how great it is. And like when I watched that, I was like, wow, that must be great. But then I was like, but wouldn't it get boring? You're just living on a beach. And I was at beaches it looked like in that movie. And after an hour and a half, I was like, I can't take this. Like, so that looks kind of like paradise. Like, look at this beach. But then an hour and a half, you're like, I can't live on a beach all day.
Right, right, right.
So, you know, I was like, is it just me? I'm like incapable of having a good time, like in relaxing or.
You live in the city. I mean, that kind of stuff after a while gets old. It's like camping. You know, you're like.
Yeah. Right, yeah, but it was like an hour at the beach, and I was just like, "Fuck this!"
Yeah. But do you say "fuck this" while you're just in the city after a while? I mean,
yeah, I say that for everybody. I think what it is like I'm always like, "Well, I'm in the city. I hate it. If I was at a beach, I would just love life.
But I don't think that's true.
No, but I know. But then I was at the beach and I was like, I want to get out of here.
Yeah, so I think you just don't really like
living.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no, but you do. No, in his defense, I think that so many things
I'm disagreeing with Tom.
No, I don't know what. I think that's what it was. I was like, is it just I'm so wound up, I can't relax. And the thing is, I did have good times there. It took me like 5 days to be like, oh, okay, like I can get with this. But
I always think, I think most things are pretty boring.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people feel this way. And one of the reasons why I feel this is like, you go to, there's a lot of comedy shows in New York City. Yep. And you know what? A lot of people go to them. And then, right. You know, and I'm like, as comedians,
we always think, why are people here?
But then you think about a person's option. And this is New York where you can, there's a lot of options, but there's not really that many options. There's dinner, there's a Broadway show, there's comedy. A movie maybe, but you can do a movie anywhere.
Right, yeah.
So I'm thinking, even in these beach places, there's not...
Well, and the other thing, too, is
you're
like...
You're right about that. That's why people go and see comedy, like, a lot. It's interesting.
I'm running into people now that go to shows, the same shows over and over again. There's a lot of regulars. Yeah. They'll see the same comedians, and you're like, why are you doing this? They're like...
I live at a beach.
Yeah, life in the beach.
So, I live in time. That was the other thing too. Like I hung out with some chicks there, and I'd be like, "Yeah, I do comedy. I'm a comedian." And they'd speak, and they'd never understand what I was saying at first. Yeah. And then I'd be like, "Do you know who Amy Schumer is?"
Yeah.
You know, like, I have a video with Amy Schumer, and they'd be like, I don't know who that is.
Didn't
I'd be like, here's a picture of her. And I'd be like, when they see the picture, and they'd be like, I have no idea who that is. Right. And that was another really interesting thing, because I was like, holy shit, you know, outside of, like, America, but maybe outside of, like, Manhattan, no one really cares about any of these people.
Well, she's not that international. Like, if you, in that video you made out with Trevor Noah, I think it would have worked better for
you. No, I think you'd be, I would name, like, I'd be like, I met a girl from Russia who wasn't, you know, who, like, you know, there was a lot of, like, American culture there, and I was like, do you like comedy? And she's like, yes, I love comedy. And I was like, who's your favorite comedian? And she's like, Will Smith. And I was like, no, like stand it. She's like, that is comedy. And I was like, holy shit. Like, it gave me a really good perspective of like the bubble we live in, even in New York in comedy. Like, you know, like when we are in comedy and you'll be like, you know, so-and-so is going to be on, you know, Conan. For the third time, isn't that amazing? And then you go to Thailand.
No one even.
And you're like,
knows
do you know who Kevin Hart is? They're like, I don't know who Kevin Hart is. Who the fuck is that?
They don't know the whole thing.
But that's what I mean. Like, even the biggest comedian in the world, they're like, and it just shows you're like, oh, these people have like things to really worry about in their lives instead of just like Conan. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I know this guy. He did five Conans.
Yeah.
Oh.
Only comedians give a shit about that.
But that's what it, and I kind of knew that, but it kind of, that's why it was really good. It put like, American culture in perspective when you're away from, because TV, I barely could watch any TV because there was no TV to watch.
You have internet access to?
I did, but in China you have to have this thing VPN because they try to block what you can get on the internet.
Oh, God. Yep.
So I could get on it, but you know, you, I guess
you don't have Google.
You can, no, you can, but you have to have this VPN thing that you have to download before, which helps you get on Google. If you don't have it, you can't get on Google. And
it's a virtual private network.
Yeah, the virtual private network. So like, but even without that, it's like, it was nice to get away from all that and be like, and then when I came back last night, I turned on TV and there's just so many channels and you know, like the roast was on and I, you know, here that's like the biggest thing in the world. And there, they wouldn't even know what the fuck you were. They wouldn't even know who Alec Baldwin was.
Really. Oh yeah, and even in America, the roast is not a big deal. I know in New York, in comedy, it seems like it's this giant event.
Yeah,
I guarantee you, if I call my mom tonight, she'd be like, "What do you mean the roast of Alec Baldwin? What is that?"
Well, and also you see the American culture, like, and I know I was already aware of this, and I think a lot of people are, but it really puts it in perspective of how everyone is so caught up in like fame and like recognition and like, what are you doing? Are you doing this? And he did this. And there it's like, no one's paying attention really. You know what I mean? Yeah. No one's like, wait, how many shows were you on? You didn't do that. They're just like, oh, I need to make money to live.
Right.
Here.
Yeah. Just not to die of starvation.
I think that exists in America too. It's just, we are in entertainment.
That's what I mean though. I think when you get out of like Brooklyn,
exactly.
It's like
if you're not far away, if you're in like, literally Central Jersey. There's people who are just, I work a blue collar job.
I've been in the South.
I think a lot of those people, though, even though we're in this country, we're a little more in touch with entertainment.
Sure.
Even people in those areas of the country, they don't know as much as we do, but they know some stuff.
They're just not as like, but I mean, like, I've been in middle America and I'll be like, You know, Louis C.K. Like, yeah, who's that? And this was like when Louis C.K. was like, had already had the big rise and Me Too fall.
Oh, wow.
And they'd be like, yeah, I think he's pretty good. And I'm like, oh, do you still like him? They're like, yeah, why? And I'm like, no, he's kind of like been ruined. They're like, oh, what did he do? And, you know, this is in, like, Dallas, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, that's not even that fucking...
So when you go to China, they're like, what? I don't know. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, they just spit on your face. You're like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Is this a good segue to talk about...
the roast?
The SNL guy.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah.
Because maybe we'll talk to the roast maybe tomorrow. We can still do it tonight, but...
Yeah.
I know you have a lot of opinions on this.
Oh, I don't know.
What's his name again? Shane Gillis?
Shane Gillis. And I just want to say... Yeah. Just in the future, some people did some Asian voices here. We were making fun of the guy who was actually doing it.
Right.
We don't condone Asian voices.
I do.
Okay, maybe.
I don't condone Asians having voices.
Yeah, I don't either. Like, why are they speaking?
So do people just pretend that people from China just sound like everyone else?
Yeah, right? Like they sound like...
Like, no, I don't hear an accent. What are you fucking racist?
Yeah, you're going to act like Chinese people sound normal? Yeah.
Did he use the derogatory term?
He did. He used the CH word. Yeah. Oh, well, you just said... Yeah.
Well, I'm using it in context.
Clinically.
Dude, I've seen... Not this is a total segue, but like...
Yeah, sure.
I've seen
comics say it on...
No, I've seen Quentin Tarantino interviews recently because the movie just came out. Yeah. And when they're talking about him having the N-word in movies, he says the N-word in the interview. I saw him do that on The Breakfast Club. Oh, you know what that is? That radio show where it's like a hip-hop radio show.
Charlamagne the God.
And he's just saying that when he's talking about using that word. Ooh. But I kind of think that's like... I actually respected that because he's not hiding behind...
He's not giving power.
He's not using it directly. He's saying... Because his whole thing is he's like, I'm using it because the characters in my movies say those words.
Right. Yeah, the argument would be he's just getting away with saying the N-word.
Yeah, it's a way to... But let's actually...
Yeah, but right. I agree with you 100%.
But let's just actually give background because...
Sure. Shane Gillis was a... He's a comic.
He's a comic.
You know him, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a very good comic. He's from New York City. Well, he started doing comedy in Philadelphia, and he moved to New York City about a year ago, maybe a little bit more.
And did he just... He just had like a big heat thing
recently?
He rose
really fast because he's really funny, and he started opening up for Dan Soder and like other big New York City comics and like kind of rose through the New York City scene pretty quickly. Got on a bunch of podcasts here, and also had his own podcast, which is where the big main controversy came from. Anyway... He just got SNL, not SNL. First, he got New Faces, Just for Laughs, which was not even like a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago.
Oh, he just did it in July.
Yes.
And
he crushed his New Faces.
It's a big Montreal Comedy Festival.
Just for Laughs.
If you do well there.
I just did Old Faces.
Old Faces, right. So New Faces was like for up and coming comics in the industry that you basically showcase for agents and managers around the country. And Old Faces is what Tom called.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
That was my joke.
Yeah, well, I like it.
Instead of New Faces.
Yeah, you get it? It's old.
I'm quick.
You know, back in the day, the New Faces, if you did well on that, the next day you would get a sitcom.
Yes.
Now it's like you get good representation.
But it's changing a little bit.
Yeah, he got an SNL from it.
Because of this. Yeah. That's what I heard.
I think it's changing a little bit into
not like development deals,
but
I think
means a lot. In comedy now, everything is sped up. Where like if you have heat now, if you get the heat, they throw everything at you. I feel like when I was first starting comedy, it was like, oh yeah, you're pretty good. We don't give development deals anymore, but we got our eye on you now. We'll watch you for 4 more years.
Right.
So anyway, go ahead. I'm good. Go ahead.
So so Shane's like only a little older than me. He's like probably early 30s. I think he's like 31, 32. He did well at New Faces. Then it came out like on Friday. Today is Monday, so this past Friday
he got SNL on Friday.
That's when they announced it. Yes,
and he already has been fired.
He was officially fired today.
Wow, that was a quick run.
Yeah, that's the joke.
That's how fast things are accelerating.
So he got fired. Like to explain, I guess the full background. As soon as he got hired, not 4 hours after he announced it, I was super happy. Everyone in New York comedy was like super happy for this guy.
I was in Thailand. Not you were. I wasn't true. Happy about anything.
I don't know if I was happy. I was pretty apathetic. But.
You did you even know who he was?
No, I didn't know who he was.
I didn't really know. I was just at the beach crying alone.
Yeah, that's strange. everyone that knew him was supportive. We all, you know, we recognize that he's a good comic. Whatever.
I like Gwiz as a comic sometimes because usually improv.
And he's a comic, right. And he's a stand-up. And it's right. Like, yeah, you could get an improv guy or an actor or someone right, who's not right. Really funny. Someone who's just...
That's so weird. That doesn't happen that much anymore, right?
Yeah, it really doesn't.
It's just a stand-up gets on SNL.
Yeah, I mean, look, most of them are stand-ups. Michael Che, the head writer, is a stand-up.
Right.
You know, like...
But, I mean, his was different because he was specifically hired for the Weekend Update. Right. So he immediately...
Maybe moving back to that, because, you know, back in the day, you had Rob Schneider,
yep.
David Spade, Schneider Sandler.
Just tweeted in support of Shane. So did Norm Macdonald.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Norm Macdonald reached out to Shane today and was like... I'm so sorry. Can't believe they're doing this to you.
So what did he said? Well, let me find it. So in the interview, in the clip that
they pulled clips. This guy Seth Simon, some fucking loser,
blogger, comic just blogger.
He's not even a comic. He used to do comedy, and now he's a comedy journalist. Well, there you go, he's yeah. One of these fucking losers, bitter.
Social justice
sure,
warrior.
He's a loser,
but they're bitter because they can't make it.
But he had this ready. To go
right.
So basically, he posted a clip from Matt and Shane's secret podcast, which is one of Shane's podcasts, where Shane
not
uses,
that secret. Apparently.
Yeah,
no.
Please rate and review.
Uses the word well the
C word.
Yeah,
I just said it because I was repeating.
Right,
what
he uses that word, and honestly, I didn't listen to it. I haven't really. I'm a big fan
of
Shane.
So why do you have that that poster on your shirt?
I don't have any poster around my shirt.
I'm just kidding. That makes no about sense. What he said on his podcast.
Okay, I'm just wearing.
Because you're like, I'm not aware of it.
I'm
I don't
wear.
To
I
it.
Just wear racial slurs on my body. Yeah. No, he's just. I'm a fan of his. He's funny.
But what else
up.
Did he say besides the C word?
That was the biggest thing they got him on.
There was a bunch of stuff. I think.
Oh, he said
homophobic
stuff. The F word for gay people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but the only problem with him is like
there were
so many clips.
Right.
That's what happened. They just kept being like
one of the clips was so funny. Did you hear what he called Judd Apatow and Chris Gethard?
Doesn't he use the F
word? Gayer than ISIS.
But
in text,
that's not even that gay.
Yeah, no. It was, and he's.
I know.
He wasn't calling them gay. Like,
but I think because I brought this up before, there was a guy.
No, I know. I'm not like for this.
But there was a guy that had the same issue about a year or two ago. This John Radinsky guy. But it was only,
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, actually. This was like 2 years ago.
He was already on the show though, right?
No, he
was starting.
He just got on, and they found old tweets. Like what they do.
Okay.
But he got a pass because the tweets were really old. And whatever, but again, it's tweets, so it's not as
right.
When you see something on video, it's like this guy
them
really
saying it. I mean, yeah. I'm not like again, I'm not condoning it, like what, but I'm just saying it got harder and harder for them. You could tell because they were like, "There's five fucking clips of this guy saying things we can't."
Okay, but his things that he was saying, like. How much worse are they than what like South Park used to do with like the Asian voices?
I know, but nothing. You can't now. It's just everything's changed, man. Like
we're not arguing that. I'm not even arguing that. I'm arguing that this is kind of the new normal.
Oh, okay. No, sure.
And I don't know if that's going to change. I mean,
I'm not here. I agree with you. I just am deeply upset at that.
Yeah,
that really upsets me because I used twisted, not just twisted. Humor that is rooted in the thing you're not supposed to say. I use that to get over very dark periods in my life. I don't think that I'd be who I am or even if maybe I wouldn't even be around if I wasn't able to laugh at things I'm not supposed to laugh at. You know, like
right.
My dad died. It was really dark and my brother got addicted to heroin. And like I really didn't have much to like live for. I didn't have a lot to be like happy about.
No,
and,
I always
listening to Patrice and listening.
No,
to
I
guys
always
that
found
are,
that I had that same thing, but it was usually through music that would make
right.
me feel better.
It's similar, to
like I
like
love.
That.
That's why when Eminem became big,
right.
Me and Eminem were like the exact same age,
right.
And it was really interesting because like our background and this is the reason Eminem connected with society somehow, like because. The way I felt about him, like I felt like I completely, he was like speaking almost his anger
directly,
like,
to you. Yeah.
But also kind of like the anger I had, he was like expressing it, but he tapped into something that so many people have
right.
inside them that
right.
makes it, that's what makes someone like a superstar, is that the fan is like, oh my God, this is for me.
Right.
And then you're like, wait a minute, I went to a concert and there's like 10,000 people here. Right. I thought this guy was just for me.
Right.
But it was always like, music for me instead of comedy is always the thing that like I would connect with.
The
like,
thing with Eminem is that he was very funny. Very funny in his songs, and his personality shone through. And I had a connection with Eminem, even though I was much younger than you. First time I heard it, it transcended whatever generations. It's really well done.
There's just something about it. Yeah, his vulnerability and honesty was like,
yes,
but anger.
But here's the thing: when you are controversial now, and you're a dark comic, whatever, and I like that stuff, but you have to know now that half the people are really going to love you.
Sure.
Which is good because you'll have this passionate fan base.
Yeah.
But then
half
the people will fucking hate you.
Yeah,
you
apparently. I mean? Yeah, they're happy to see you suffer.
Right. So,
is like, that's not going to kill racism.
No, but what you...
Right.
But I don't get it.
But you couldn't stop them. Like Eminem, remember when he came out right. and he said faggot over and over, and they tried to ruin him.
They couldn't.
Right.
But they weren't powerful enough to ruin
but
him.
Even if
they, it actually helped
they
him.
But even
it actually
if they ruin
him.
You yeah. in the mainstream world, you'll have these passionate fans that'll follow you. You know what I mean? I think that's where we're at now. A guy like that is going to get fired now from SNL every time. If they hire someone else and they find someone else, it's going to happen again.
Yeah.
And I'll give an example because there's a very funny comedian. You know Adrienne Appalucci?
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
She's very funny. You know?
Yeah.
Aya Appalucci.
Yeah.
Aya Appalucci.
Yeah. But she's very dark, too. And that's why people really like her.
Sometimes she kills. And so I've seen her also do poorly.
Right.
Because of how dark she is.
And I've seen, the night I did a show with her, and the people, she split the room in half.
Right.
And the people who loved her were fucking loving her.
Yeah.
But some of the people, and I think she was, when people were getting offended, she started going further with it and stuff like that.
Right.
Which was funny. And she had this one joke that was really funny about the Parkland shooting.
Okay.
And it was basically about, did you know the Parkland shooting happened on... Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, oh, well, you know, that she thought that it was something like helpful for the gunmen because it gave them a target on their head.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Now, when that joke popped off, I swear half the crowd was like, loved it, and half the crowd was like, so pissed.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know.
And she knew it. I mean, I'm not like saying things that like she was like, oh, you don't like this school shooting joke? I'm going to do more. You know what I mean? But
that's
fine.
Right.
It's just that when you do this material, you're going to take your hits.
But I don't think Shane didn't not know that. Like, Shane is probably aware of that, but he also got a job offer from SNL and then in 1 weekend got it taken away from him. Not that he shouldn't be. I'm sure he was expecting it, aware of all the negativity. But, I mean, it's not like it's his fault,
it's actually,
too. Like,
you know that he deleted stuff quickly. When
I saw that.
You know,
that's probably on the advice of his manager.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
the almost comedic. Definitely didn't come from
it's almost comedic now how fast
they definitely made him
things happen.
By the way. There's no
like
way,
that story is like absurdly. It's almost like humorous how
fast it
was. Like it's like because in his like statement today, he was like, "Well, thank you for the opportunity," and it's like. You literally had a job for like a day and a half, and you're
and
you did nothing on
here.
The show, and you're like, "Thank you for the opportunity."
He didn't say thank you for the opportunity.
No, he said something like
that.
No,
this is what he said. He said, "I'm a comedian who was funny enough to get SNL. That can't be taken away. Of course, I wanted an
opportunity. Can be though.
Well, that's the joke.
Yeah.
Of course, I wanted an opportunity to prove myself at SNL, but I understand it would be too much of a distraction. I respect the decision they made. I'm honestly grateful for the opportunity. Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
I was always a mad TV guy anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Is,
I thought that I was kind of
funny. That's a funny line.
That was funny.
People are shitting on him. People think it's funny to go, haha, mad TV's canceled too, and now you are.
Yeah. Right.
And I want them to die.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But it's funny thing.
Well, at least you have a good attitude about it. You're not overreacting.
Nope.
But you can't.
No, I get it. But
the funny thing is you can't delete this stuff. You know,
delete what? Like,
well, because this guy, you can delete things, and people have screenshots or whatever. They'll pull this stuff.
Right.
You can't take once it's on the internet, it's there forever.
But I mean, don't you think that's funny that he said, "I'm grateful for the opportunity." Like, that's where it is now. That's how fast things happen.
That's still
like, you usually say, What?
It's like, thanks for the opportunity. And
of
like,
having a job for a day.
For not even having a job. He didn't even get to do it.
But that's what I mean. Well, he basically was like, oh, you're hired for a day. Oh, yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
They gave him the opportunity and he blew it by having like a pass. But honestly, no. They knew who they were hiring. They did this
Not necessarily.
Buddy, you don't think they knew who he was?
They knew certain things, but
they didn't vet him, I guess. I know nothing about
Michael
this.
Michael Che's on the same podcast as him, saying the same fucking stuff, and he's the head writer. But they don't care. They
Well, want he got in under the wire.
No, yeah. He's still there, though. They could do this to Che, but Che's black, so it's harder.
Yeah.
Trust me. This is all just like politics.
No,
the vetting's not that easy because you have to go through so much stuff.
Sure.
You
know? Yes.
The guy has a million podcasts. What are you going to go listen to every one?
No.
Who's doing that?
But they know the ones he was on with Che. Like, I'm just saying, like, it was out there that this guy is racist. They knew that this
so
was
so. Speaking of which, so yeah. I know. So the Chappelle thing came out when I was in China.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like that?
Yes.
I mean, that's like amazing.
Yeah.
And that's another thing
that's
like,
you. And what? That's
no, but I know. And he did that thing where he said really inappropriate things.
So did Bill. Yes. Well, Bill Burr, did you see his special?
No, did it just come out?
Yeah, it's really good. But he also addresses that stuff, too. But
he didn't get any flack. Chappelle got all the flack.
I know. Everyone, that's another thing. I didn't.
That's like a genuine racism.
I had heard nothing about that. Again, I was in China. I was on Netflix. I was like, oh, I guess I'll watch this. Sure. And then I was like, oh, wow, that was really funny. And then like 2 days later, looking on Google. And like Dave Chappelle, everything about Chappelle's special is like
negative.
I hated it. I can't believe. Yeah. And I was like, again, being out of the country made me be like, what the fuck is going on over there? Like,
yeah.
I just saw that he had a new special. I thought he said some funny things.
But you know, most people had your opinion. It's just the fake inflammatory.
But that's what. Yeah,
use.
That's why it was so cool to be away from it and not in the middle of it and not hear. Yeah. And the only people I talked to was like my sister and brother-in-law who were like, oh, I watched. And they're not into comedy, and they're like,
they love
it was so great. And then I'm like, oh, everyone must be loving this. And I look on, and every review is like, you know, I don't know if anybody gets what he said. Yeah, it's really lazy. It's like, I just got bored of it.
How dare you say that's lazy? Like, he's like one of the best comedians.
It's like
of
his
all
fourth
time.
Hour special in like 2 weeks.
Yo, he's lazy.
No,
right?
someone wrote something like, I just got tired of it fast. Like, he's better than that. Like, it's not even the material's offensive. It's just
like no,
he's
that's
just phoning
exactly
it in.
Why
do you think
this?
Eddie Murphy doesn't want to come back to stand up so soon?
I thought he was, though.
I know, but why it took 30 years.
Yeah, but I think what happened with him is the bar was so high, there was no way to come back.
No,
without.
I know, but he know, and that's even back years ago. I mean, like people, if it wasn't as good, people would just shit on him.
Right. Eddie Murphy has a track on his album called Faggots, and then a second track called Faggots Revisited.
Right.
But that guy's going to host SNL.
How about
December.
That as a podcast?
Well, he was
name.
On SNL.
Yeah, well, so why are we not canceling him? Why is Trump going on SNL? Wait, isn't he the worst of all time? Well,
is he going on SNL?
He's always he gets invited. No. He got invited as a president to host SNL.
He was not president when they had him.
No,
he was running.
He was running for president.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a big.
That was
fucking,
before everyone turned on him.
No, people.
No, it wasn't before people turned on.
No, that was a big deal. Yeah.
Oh, it was. They got a lot of flack.
Yeah,
for that,
there's
actually,
no way they didn't say anything bad about that.
No, he will not be invited back.
Oops. No, definitely not. Yeah. Speaking of which, Trump's here. I was just saying it was kind of interesting to be not in the thick of this culture and see the reaction to Chappelle, like, because most of the things written were negative and it wasn't about, and I just saw with not knowing anything,
right?
And I, you know, it's funny, when Chappelle first was big in like the 2000s, I didn't think that show was that great, but his new stand-up that he has come out with, I've thought is like, I think he's like the best comedian right now.
He's so fucking
hands
good.
Down.
He's the best doing it right now.
I
agree. And it's sad. And it's kind of crazy that it foreshadowed this whole Shane thing, because it literally did exactly what he was talking about with, like, you know, we're going to look through your past. We're going to find something, and we're going to, like, I mean, that was the setup to his punchline of saying, like,
yeah,
like, that's you. Like, he was doing an impersonation of you.
Even though with the Shane Gillis thing, it seems like it was mainly this one, like, social justice warrior who went through all this shit.
It wasn't just one guy. There was
a bunch of people. Right.
Yep. One guy broke it, and then a bunch of people started.
Well, I was saying before we started, I was listening to this podcast that this woman has about old Hollywood, and she, I was aware of the blacklist that happened in the 50s, mm-hmm. where they would blacklist, you know, directors and actors and writers who they thought had like a tie to the communism party.
Yeah.
And, you know, hearing about it now after the fact, it's insane to like be like, oh, my God, they like blacklisted these people and some people went to jail. But it's kind of a similar thing. You can't fight it. You know what I mean? If the powers that be are going to fire you and not hire you because the climate and everyone's kind of like, you know, hammering them to not hire someone, that they're not going to do it. You know what I mean? I mean, looking back, it's like Louis C.K. Definitely got cut. Louis C.K. I think has got the worst of that Me Too shit.
Yep.
Because he is always lumped in with Harvey Weinstein. He's forever
Who's a genuine monster. And then you're comparing a guy who's, you know, maybe was a little bit.
I think he might have. It's dicey what he did a little bit.
Right.
But he is like always. It's even. Yeah. You look today at an article. I saw an article that was written like 3 days ago, and it's always Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, Louis C.K. Aziz kind of got out of that. Even though I think Aziz,
he was like the turning point.
But the thing about Aziz, I feel like Aziz is going to be able to come back because he's coming back. Yeah. But the thing about Aziz is like it's interesting to watch because the kind of the perception I get with Aziz now is very like showbiz and society is like, all right, buddy, we'll let you back.
Yeah. Right.
Fine.
Which is like,
and when we were coming up,
James Franco's in that show again. He kind of got through this.
But I feel like when I was coming up in comedy, Aziz was like the darling of showbiz. He could do no wrong. Everything was like handed to him. And now it's very like, all right, buddy, watch your fucking step.
Yeah, and it's like white women saying that to an Indian guy
but I feel like that's and in showbiz too. It's very like, all right, buddy, like it's just interesting to see he doesn't have showbiz by the balls anymore.
No, not even.
It's kind of like they got him by the balls 100%. A little bit. So, all right, so we got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
All right, so
it was a good episode. You have any?
It's a great episode.
Are there more stories that you have? We can do on the next.
We're going to do another one this week. Yeah. Right.
Tom comes back, part one.
All right. So, give any shout outs or?
I have an album coming out in I think a month. So please check it out.
It's dropping in a month.
I think so. I had to go through all the editing during when I was away.
New York.
I had to listen to the whole shit and be like, take this out.
That second
show
was killer, dude.
Yeah, it was pretty. I mean, it came out. It's good.
I was there.
I listened to it, man. It's pretty funny. I think the album's going to be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know what'll happen, but I mean, it's so I'm doing like all the artwork and shit. So it's called New York Funny. I was actually going to maybe call it Sexy Show, the Sexy Show.
Really?
I saw a sign in Thailand called Sexy Show, and I was like, that sounds kind of like funny. That'll probably be my next album title. You guys seem so.
I like the idea of Sexy Show, and then it's just a picture of you, kind of just in normal,
not looking that sexy.
Just not sexy.
No, not trying to be overtly sexy.
No, not at all.
So check that out.
And there's a Patreon page now, so
we're working on it, right?
We're going to be
suggested donation is $10,000.
Oh, $10,000. Yeah, right. Yeah. We only ask five to six digits. Yeah. You know?
Anywhere we're between $1 and $10,000.
Yeah,
but no, we've been slowly, you know, accruing more downloads. So
what we're thinking of doing is probably doing a bonus episode with the weekly episode,
right?
And, you know, if you
have any comments or anything, please message me. You can message me through Instagram or any of us, please.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
No fear in my eyes, what they looking at? Better look on map. Besides, me not like the eye fight. Me not think such a thing is worth a man's life. But if a man tests my style, I promise he won't like my reply. Boom, bye bye, like bougie. I'm crucial. I'm a Brooklyn boy. I may take some getting used to. Chain snatching ain't habit. Gotta get it. Same.
from Brownsville to Brain British. Fatherless child, mama put double shifts, so the number runners was the only one to hang with it. Before you know it, I'm in a game, bang fit it. Fit no orangutans, pit ill kid apps like oranges. I'm dangerous. Jeez. Tell me what the name of this. Brooklyn Dodger them, I jack, I rob, I sin. Oh man, I'm Jackie Robinson. Except when I run base, I dodge the pen. Lucky me, luckily, they didn't get me. Now when I bring the nets, I'm the Black Branch Ricky from Brooklyn Corners. Burning branches of spread love, Biggie, Brooklyn, hippie. I pity the fool with jewels like Mr. T. With no history in my barrel, they borrow. With no intentions of returning tomorrow. The sun don't come out for many, like Annie. Half orphan, mama never had an abortion. Papa sorta did, still I managed to live. I go hard, I owe it all to the crib. Now please tell me, what the f*** is harder than this?